Thank you. So let us move on to agenda item number two, which is matter arising. So going through the minutes, I think in this meeting, the Secretariat has kindly prepared to us a summary table called the Department's Responses to Follow-up Items. I think this is very good because it gives us a clear idea about what were the items that were outstanding and had to be discussed. So referring to this table, the follow-up item for 2.2 and 2.3 are mainly concerning the Avenue of Star and that of the Tsim Sha Tsui area. Now, bearing in mind that the pedestrian connectivity and walkability issue, as well as the Salisbury Road Park and nearby redevelopment would be discussed later in our agenda item number three. So we focus on the response from LCSD on the release of the audit report from the New World. So currently the legal advice has been sought and we need to wait for a confirmation from New World Development as to whether the audit report could be released to members for public interest. And also that I noticed that LCSD has confirmed with New World that new seats and shelters at the Avenue of Stars will be provided in the first quarter of 2013, yeah, which is actually a very good development. And finally, about the visitors' feedback on whether the Avenue of Star is, they are satisfied with their experience with the Avenue of Star. So the Tourism Board has came back with their results from the departing visitors survey and from the regular meetings with the tourism sector. It seems that tourists and visitors are generally satisfied with AOS as a tourist attraction. So that's 2.2 and 2.3. Okay, then let us move on to 2.4. On 2.4, which is the walking tour, thanks a lot for the help of the Secretariat. We have organized a walking tour last week on the 13th of November. Subsequent to that, the Transport Department actually has also prepared a paper summarizing the comments that has been raised by the by members, especially on pedestrian connectivity in Tsim Sha Tsui, and that will be further discussed in item number three. Then also during the walking trip, for those of you who have made it, we have actually raised a number of comments related to the enhancement, especially on LCSD venues along the Tsim Sha Tsui waterfront. And we got from LCSD that they will consult the task force on the renovation plan of the Hong Kong Museum of Arts, as well as the Salisbury Garden in early 2013, when the more detailed design is ready. So while this will come back in the next task force meeting, perhaps we could raise a number of issues that have been, some of the comments that has been collected during the walking trip, so that LCSD can follow up on this. Because in particular, members has raised concern about integration of the Salisbury Garden with the adjacent open space of New World Development in the design, the provision of alfresco dining and more outdoor sitting areas, the planting of large crown trees to provide shading, and the improvement of signage to the Avenue of Stars. So these issues will be considered. Please consider this point when you come back for the next meeting. Thank you, Member. Okay, so that's paragraph 2.4. Okay, so then we move on to 3.14. So that has been a number of key performance indicators that Tom has asked TD to provide, and TD has provided us with some responses and also an annex on the walkability indices. So that would be in Appendix A of the papers. Now, I know that I think many of you know that I do research on walkability. But my point here is not to say that I know it all or there is only one way to do it. But if we look at the best practice, when we look at walkability performance indicators, if we just use the flow rate, especially of pedestrian alone, it seems to be too narrow. And in particular, when we, I have been doing a research with the New York University comparing the walkability of neighborhoods in Hong Kong and New York as well, and that has been accepted for publication in the Journal of Transport Geography. In that, we also reviewed the definition of walkability and indices. Some of them actually, some of these tools actually would have more than 712 indicators for the walkability. Now, definitely that would not fit the context of Hong Kong either. But I think one indicator is perhaps undesirable also. So I think maybe TT can consider widening your LOS, your level of service, to include areas like convenience and that of comfort in the future. So apart from this, is there any response from TT on this, on your performance indicator?
Thank you, Chairman. Currently, Transport Department is basing on the indicator as tabled to members. And it is, in fact, also one of the many factors TD is considering when we plan the petition way. But this is one of the major factors, indicators we are following. We are continuing reviewing the indicators we are looking for. Perhaps if there is any specific comments, we can take into account when we review our standards.
Okay, thank you very much. So let's move on then to 319, of which we talk about putting up signage information system and that of the tourist map, together with 3.22, that we have to recognize the need to study pedestrian connectivity, the connectivity issue holistically. So the responses has also been listed out in the responses, including near-term and also more long-term measures to be considered. So I think we can dealt with all these specific recommendations and areas that TD will be looking at in item 3. Then finally, 4.7. That we mentioned about the loitering issue of coaches. And as you can see from the response, TC and TD has actually had a meeting with the tourism trade, urging them to follow the rules and to park and to use their coach parking spaces properly. TD has also been coordinating with the police to deal with this issue. And then in relation to the question that has been raised about the additional coach parking spaces and to provide parking provisions in new development, especially new tourist attractions in the Tsim Sha Tsui area, the developers would have to follow the Hong Kong planning standards and guidelines. So, and for our questions about the provision of parking spaces with the redevelopment of the New World, of the New World development, it has been clarified that there would be free laybys for single-deck tour buses and 64 loading and unloading bays for tourist buses, trucks, and or lorries that would be required. And then, but then the response have also a question, a statement which says, However, there is no specific requirement for opening up the facilities within the department, within the development. So can I have some clarification? So what does it mean? Okay,
Chairman, TD and TC had consulted Lands Department on this issue, and Lands Department has advised us that according to lease, there is no requirement for the developer to open up the loading and unloading facility or parking facility for public use within the development. It is specified in the lease between the government and the developer.
So then how can we ensure that this loading and unloading base would be open to tourist buses, trucks or lorries?
Chairman, I think it is not TD's position to answer this question. But I can provide a comment that when these laybys or loading and unloading facilities are filled up by closures of the developer, then it will ease off the situation in the streets. So I think whether it is open to the public or not, to us is not really very important. The important thing is the number of facilities has increased in total in the districts for the coach use.
Who would be in a better position to say? Because it seems that if you provide such parking spaces and then people are not cannot use it, then it's kind of odd. Because if you say that it's not open to the public, does it mean that it will be used solely by New World? Your response first and then Paul.
Chairman, maybe I can share my experience. Although some, for general case, some development do not have specific requirement for open up their facilities for public use, but the developer do open up for their own purpose. So I'm not sure whether when this development completes, whether they will choose to open part of the facility to the public or not. We need to see at a later stage of the development.
Paul?
Yeah, Chair, let me share another experience with this current in a communication with TD and a number of activists living in Tsim Sha Tsui, concerned groups there. It's about K11. Again, a loading base was specified in the development, and they're not necessarily used for loading and unloading for vehicles, not even for vehicles loading and unloading goods for K11. TD has responded that they have no binding enforcement power. BD has said they have no binding enforcement power. Lens has said they have no binding enforcement power. Nobody has binding enforcement power, despite the fact that those loading bases have been specified, despite the fact that we have public costs in terms of the height of the building. So it's a problem that government will have to resolve, because between TD, Plan D, BD, and Lens D, you know, we seem to have no control over our future. And despite here that the response is that developments will include those facilities, whether they're actually going to help to take traffic off the road, we don't have control over, because we have no binding enforcement on the management of those facilities. So there is a real issue here that has been uncovered and it needs to be resolved. Government will have to study this. It will take some time. It cannot be answered today, I'm sure. But it's an issue that you have rightly pointed out, and this is confirmed on other occasions too, that this is an issue. And as we're increasing the development intensity in Tsim Sha Tsui, we have very little road space. So to get more loading and unloading onto the roads is basically impossible. So we need to get those in the buildings, and therefore we need to have enforcement powers over the use and the management over those spaces that we allow people to build, which allows them to build taller. It allows them to put in podiums, because that's free GFA they get. So, you know, the public pays for it, but we've got to get public control over it. And the government has no control currently over the management of it. It's been proven now in the statements made today and in documents that I've seen going through my email separately on a hot discussion going on today. So I hope this can be picked up as an issue to be studied.
Thomas, please.
Thank you. I think there's no question that there are already requirements for the developers to provide the car park and loading and unloading spaces. The question then is how they are to be used and whether they are to be open for public use. And I think partly depends on, well, first, the specific conditions that have been specified in the land lease. So we'll have to take it back to look at on a site-specific basis. But I think Paul's comment has also raised a more general issue, which is, of course, for these car parks and loading and unloading spaces. In general, of course, if there are certain car parks which are specified as public car parks, then there is a requirement for them to be open for public access. But I'm not sure about the loading and unloading. That seems to cut across a few departments. So I think the Development Bureau will take it up with the departments and with the Transport and Housing Bureau as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. YY? Thank you, Chairman. Actually, I was involved in the K11 project, so perhaps I can shed some light on this issue. I'm already, you know, left GRA. But I think what happened is, you know, like provision is different from, you know, using the space. Because actually, if you have provision for like a loading and loading bay or coach parking within within a site, the management is the problem. Because, you know, whenever it is open for public use, developers are very reluctant to let it open for public use because of the management. They are so, you know, like for example, if you only have two or three coach parking space within a development, which is allowed to, you know, which is stipulated in the lease for public use, someone has to do the management. You know, like who would have priority to use those space? And I think it is not a provision requirement, instead it is a management requirement.
Thank you. I think this is a worthwhile issue that we look into it, especially like in the future, could we specify it more clearly in the land lease? Now, I think opening for public use doesn't mean that we would allocate the space freely, right? You can charge a fee and that could also be paid car park, but in a sense, we have to consider this, especially along the waterfront near major tourist attractions. Otherwise, the tour buses wouldn't have sufficient parking spaces off the road, so they would, you know, be on the road, and that's caused a lot of congestion problems and so on along our waterfront, which is undesirable. And that's why we stipulated the provision. But if the provision is there and people cannot use it, then that's a concern. Okay, thank you. And then Yi, I also noticed that TD has reported that for the expiry of STT sites, efforts will be made to find replacement sites as well. Okay, which is good. So, and then 4.8, New World Development, we have covered that already. The 4.9, actually TC has also informed the Travel Industry Council about our concerns of coaches loitering in the area, and their cooperation would be sought to solve this problem. Then 4.11, and 4.13, we can see that TDs have conducted some site surveys, including both legal and illegal parking, to look at the demand for parking spaces in the area. And the results says that the demand is actually estimated to be quite close to the current provisions, and the locations of all these parking spaces for coaches have been shown in Annex 2, which has been annotated. And also Lands Department has promised to assist TD to identify the reprovisioning of STT coach parking sites in the future. So I think this issue has been stepped up, and towards the end of this response, we have also seen that TD has liaised with the police
to step up enforcement where necessary, but the traffic impact from loitering of coaches in Tsim Sha Tsui was estimated to be not significant at the current stage. But step up measures have been taken. So I think, is there any other comments on this? Yes, Paul.
Yes, a few comments. I'm very interested in your New York indicator on the 700 indicators you mentioned. That can be available for people to study will be great. I agree with you that the Transport Department will have to reconsider how they look at the quality of pedestrian area, the pedestrian networks in districts, and not only looks at the current level of service, but looks at a much wider range of indicators. It would be great if the TD, maybe not today, but that the TD could go back and ask their standards section to confirm their schedule for reviewing these indicators and how they're going to do their pedestrian planning. Pedestrian planning is really something from around 2001, 2002, primarily undertaken by Plan D at the time. The planning transport department used to have a pedestrian facilities section that's been given up. The staff was reallocated to the districts. So it would be great to know what TD will do to you know, upgrade their ability to look at these pedestrian, the quality of our pedestrian networks and to see a bit of a timeline for that, but would be fantastic if that could be done after this meeting. On the issue of the parking that has been provided here, the answers, I don't know, I'm a bit tired of answers that look like answers but are no answers. You know, we keep monitoring the Coast Park situation, the SDT size, and Harbour liaison with the Lands Department. Well, that's been the same as we've been getting for several years now in this committee. And what we simply want to know is the numbers. We want to know there's no volumes, numbers. We've seen the numbers of how many coaches and long goods vehicles are parked in SDT areas, in harbourfront areas they've been given previously. But what we haven't seen is where the land and the will be found to provide them either with temporary or permanent facilities in the future. From our study of the outline zoning plans, there are very few permanent good vehicle and coach parking facilities planned for in any of the new developments in any of the districts around the waterfront. So I don't know what Lands D means we're going to find you new sites, but if they mean finding new STT sites, people don't want these vehicles parked in the neighborhoods and SDT sites. It's just ugly. And you know, as we are heading for full development of the of our urban areas around the waterfront, you know, there's going to be fewer and fewer SDT sites. So I don't understand this response, and I don't think we can accept this response. This is just a you know, please go away, don't ask me again kind of response, but it doesn't give an answer. And I think we should got to see numbers and figures and locations and specifics. Which means hard work for TD, Lands D, and Planning D to go on and pull that together. They've got to give some comfort to the community that this has been taken seriously, and it's currently it's not. On the issue of the lay-bys and the coach parking, the lay-by at in Tsim Sha Tsui along Salisbury Road remains a big problem. The other day I came in, I couldn't use it. I had to use the exit to Nathan Road to get past the traffic and cross a white line. Yes, I did, to go back to the cultural centre, because it was just all blocked up. So there is a problem there, and it cannot be denied, and police won't deny it, and TD is not denying it either in this paper, that there is a problem in Salisbury Road with the buses holding the holding down those traffic lanes, closing them entirely up, with double parking, waiting for passengers to get on and off the buses. So again, in terms of capacity planning, where is it going to go and how are we going to deal with it? I suggested to really separate the issues in lay-bys and drop-offs, which is related to capacity needed at particular destinations. The other one is holding areas, parking areas that the bus can go to conveniently. And the other one is, of course, the parking that I mentioned earlier. So I think we need some more work. But on the other hand, we see some progress on the work, and this becomes an example of what we need to do around the entire harbourfront everywhere. We need to plan our lay-bys. We're going to enhance the waterfront, so we're going to attract tourists. So we need, for each of our waterfronts, we need a very clear plan for lay-bys, holding areas, and parking areas for coaches. And currently, we're not doing that. We don't have a plan that shows that. So I think if there is anything to be learned from Tim Satori, is what we have to ask the entire committee, or to report to them and ask them to do it for the entire waterfront, to really get a clearly a plan going on those aspects. It's an interesting one here outside North Point, where we have a lot of coach drop-offs. But, I wonder what that's going to look like once we have fully developed the area. So those are my comments and some of the feedback. I may have some specific comments, but I will do that in writing later. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think for your first comment on the quality of the pedestrian network and pedestrian planning in general, I'm quite cautious that we are the Harbourfront Commission. So we are mainly concerned, in particular, pedestrian connectivities and walkability along the waterfront and bringing people to the waterfront. So I think we would, press on the focus and on improving pedestrian walkability along the Tsim Sha Tsui waterfront first, and see how far we can go in these aspects, rather than suggesting something that is more drastic. And as you will see in the later presentation, I think this is something that we need to be aware of. And then the second point that you mentioned about the coach parking, I think TD has provided us with some figures. Maybe next time we could have a page number for the responses. So under 4.13A, TD has given us the data that there are 80 coach parking spaces, with half of them on street and half of them off street in the Tsim Sha Tsui area. And of course, we could have further breakdowns on the locations, where they are, etc. So, but the essential point is how many of them, are on the waterfront, and how does the provision of this affect the overall traffic flow and that of the pedestrians and general public's experience of the waterfront. So I would like to put this in this context. And I think your last point on the lay-by and the drop-off, you have mentioned about this location of Salisbury Road, and I think if we have further walking trips or further experience to be shared, this we should convey this to TD. And Wilson, perhaps you can talk with the police to step up the enforcement over there if there are hotspots that we have identified where people are using the lay-bys in a rather chaotic way. Okay, Wilson.
Thank you, Chairman. Actually, we are liaising with police, requesting them to strengthen the enforcement action along Salisbury Road. So, and also we will maintain dialogue with them from time to time.
All right, thank you very much. So let us move on to another matters arising, which has happened after we met in July. That would be the shelving of the development of a piazza in Tsim Sha Tsui. The Tourism Commission has prepared a paper for us for information, which is the TFK-09-2012. Apart from this summary paper, the Secretariat has also provided us web links to the previous references and background materials for this case that goes back to 2008 until 2011. So I guess members would have gone through those links already. Before we actually cover this for information, I would like to invite members to declare interest on this item if you have any. If not, then let us just take this paper that has been provided by the Tourism Commission for information. I think you would be able to see, especially under page 2, paragraph 7, after our task force has met and discussed about the proposal, and the proposal went on to the Gazetto stage, the administration has received more than 7 presentations during this period of Gazetto in accordance with the statutory procedures. And the decisions to shelve this project were mainly due to all these the considerable technical problems, as well as strong aspirations from the district councils and local residents for maintaining the existing level of bus service, and from conservation groups for maintaining and preserving the Tsim Sha Tsui Pier bus terminus. I think as the task force, we regret that a potentially good opportunity to revitalize this harbor front around the Tsim Sha Tsui Pier has to be shelved because of concerns of the general public. But I think we must respect the opinions of the general public. So it's not so much as to what could be done, what could be done but couldn't be done, and this project has to be shelved. But it seems that at this current state of affair, we are a bit concerned about, after this project is being shelved, is there any other plans to improve the areas, especially in view of the rather dilapidated state of the Tsim Sha Tsui Star Ferry Pier and the bus terminus? So would there be somebody taking the lead here to improve the area around the Star Ferry? Miranda.
Thank you, Chairman. I understand that Transport Department is now working with the Star Ferry Company Limited to further study the feasibility of doing some smaller scale renovation on the Star Ferry Pier. And also the Transport Department is also working with the bus company to see whether some improvement work can be made to the bus terminus. Maybe Wilson can supplement here.
Chairman, thank you, Miranda. It is true that we are still liaising with the Star Ferry Company, see whether there is any plan for the renovation. In view of the comment previous made by the government on the structural integrity of the pier. Secondly, we are also really talking with the bus company how to carry out some minor improvement to the facilities of the terminus, like the canopy, like the shelters, railing, and pavement. We are working with them. We are working with them. We are working with them with the details. Hopefully, we can have a more concrete plan, say, in next year, early next year.
So we would like to see some update on this development, especially on the Tsim Sha Tsui Star Ferry. Peter,
Yes, I think I think we need to put this in quite strong words, actually. This is a project, an extremely good project and an innovative one. It was for the good of Hong Kong. It was for the good of our waterfront. We do have, and I keep saying this in every single meeting, but we do have objectives and harbour development principles. And We had here a scheme which the Star Ferry Company sort of adhered to in terms of their own small, relatively small scale improvements and rehabilitation. I think it's a great pity, and I'm not quite sure quite where we should go on this, but I. You know, we do go around in circles in a sense, really. I mean, 7,000 objections. Well, we have 7 million people living in Hong Kong, plus, you know, 24 million tourists every year. This isn't just retaining a bus station. To talk about conservation groups trying to keep a bus station, which is a polluting thing, which is increasingly less and less used, because less and less people use the Star Ferry, is rather ludicrous, and it just shows really that, you know, we always back down in Hong Kong. If anybody sticks up their hand and says, well, it's inconvenient to us, we do back down. But I really go back to this rather fundamental thing that we are supposed to be a harbourfront commission that's doing our best possible things to enhance the waterfront. And here we have a situation where we had a good scheme that would fit into an enhanced waterfront very well. We've lost it, and I think we should underscore our very, very strong objections to what's actually happened. We're seeing too many of these things, really, that come up and they disappear in front of our eyes for really no terribly good reason at all. second thing, of course, is that the whole idea was that the bus station was moved to a much better location that interfaced with the MTRC. So now we have yet more buses running up and down Salisbury Road, and they're stopping and parking illegally and so on and so forth. So really we haven't improved conditions in this area at all. We've simply gone backwards.
Right. Paul?
Now, Chair, I don't think we have to delve into the failures of this project, how Tourism Commission has again failed to deliver. And that has to do with the structure of in government and people's responsibilities within government and abilities to drive other organizations and so on. And so we can't resolve that problem, but what we can do is look forward. I'm a bit worried about a haphazard and limited approach that TD seems to be taking now. One is to set out very tight constraint on the redevelopment of the pier. Structural integrity of the pier is set out as a serious constraint. Well, it's a matter of money. If you spend more money, then you can do anything to get the foundations and the seawall fixed. And it doesn't have to be a problem, but it needs more work and more money. And it might have some more temporal inconvenience for users of the site. And minor improvements to be discussed with the bus companies. If that's all we're going to get, then I don't think we're going to get a lot. So there's basically not much. So it appears that the project is no longer in the hand of the Tourism Commission, driving it with an aspiration of tourism, but it's now in the hand of TD. So I think we'll have to, you know, as it is, this is really a harbourfront area. It should be, we should take some lead here. And we should just do our normal process. What can we do? In a visioning stage, define the what we can do, what we can't do for the site, come up with some aspirational plans of how it could be fixed up, given some of the constraints like maintaining the bus service level and so on. And then from there on, define the improvements that could be made. And then TD can go and negotiate with the bus company. And I think it's much easier for TD to negotiate with the bus company when they have an aspirational plan to show, say, well, this is what we want to do and the public loves it. By the way, can you move your ticketing kiosk and can you change your canopy and, you know, drive everybody from a visual plan that people love to see happening. I think that's going to be much easier for the various operators within government to get things done. Can we as Harbour Unit and Harbour Commission lead that, or do we need a government works department to lead it? And which works department? TD going to lead it or TC going to lead it? You know, I think government will have to go make a decision on that one. But to leave it as a minor improvements by TD, I know how difficult it is for them to negotiate anything on minor improvement level without structural support for a process. Then we're not going to get very far. This site is too important to let go. So can we take the lead, Chair?
I'm not entirely okay. Sure that we should be taking a lead. I don't think it's the job of the Commission to really come up with design solutions.
But I
do think we should actually write from the Commission and set down a whole series of objections. You know, we are trying to do good environmentally as well. What we have in that situation is a real activity node. People are walking into this area from various directions. We have no collection point at all. So the area around there is extremely crowded, very uncomfortable. We also talk all the time in Hong Kong about clean air. We have pollution over the harbour. And here we are, right next to the harbour, having a collection of polluting things, exactly where we have a lot of pedestrian activity. Now, the great irony here is that government saw that themselves. I was present at various presentations that ASD made at least 5 years ago when this was coming up, and it's been around for an awful long time being discussed and genuinely agreed. I mean, this was really going forward until all of a sudden we had these sort of objections pop up. So I mean, I do think we are in a position to raise objections here and ask for some reconsideration, primarily on the basis that this is a very important node and it's going against our other principles.
Franklin.
Mr. Chair, and I agree completely with Peter's opinion, and well, it's regret. It's regretful that this project will be shelved. And in addition, I think if we have to cater for everybody expressing an objection to a project, then everything won't go ahead, because there is bound to be some group or some people objecting to some aspect of the project. In particular, for this one, I think it's about conservation, and in particular conserving the existing function of the bus stop and of the bus terminals. And I think in this case, it's not an unresolvable issue, because I think the winning entry of the competition has actually proposed to conserve every single built structure there. But then the use of it, the use of those stations are changed. So in this case, I think the change in the place is in the software, but not in the hardware. But even that cannot be, well, cannot convince the group that objects to any change to the bus terminals, and is regretful that even innovative design solution can't solve this objection. So I think with some more efforts in engagement and in addressing the emotions of the groups that are objecting to a certain project, I think the government can actually take the project forward, especially for this one that I think inside this room, most of the members can see the great value that successfully implemented Piazza can do to the harbourfront. So, thank you.
Yes, Ida.
I support all the views expressed by members just now. As a user myself, I strongly feel that, like, you know, the star ferry pier really needs to be improved from a layman point of view. I think we should do something about it. And about the 7,000 objections, I really don't know what are the contents, but maybe addressing the roots of the matter, look at it, and then maybe address to some of the questions raised. Maybe there are miscommunications, and we can, you know, lay out our plans or express our views.
Thank you, Ada. Well, I think it's within this room, we do share this vision. And the one of the things that I think perhaps Miranda, you can look at the comments that has been raised in the recommendations in closer details, and as we consider the way forward, why that so that now is shelf, maybe there's an opportunity to implement perhaps some of the innovative design that Franklin has suggested, etc., in the way forward. And currently it seems that Transport Department would be taking the lead in doing this, and I don't know whether this is desirable from a holistic, you know, kind of point of view. But the thing that I think we have to consider is it's not just the 7,000 representation or the hard way of preserving the bus terminus, but the district councillors in the areas. So the district councillors, they strongly oppose to the rerouting of the bus lines, and that's caused a lot of these issues. So in Peter's term, it's actually better if we move the bus station to another location. It's actually closer to the MTR, and we may believe in this way. But then the district councillors and people in the area may consider that that is being undesirable. So I think in the process, as we deliver our version, we have to consider the views of the stakeholders, and how to better incorporate it would be a major task that we have to look at. And it's if Harbour Unit or if TD is taking a lead in really looking at this Tsim Sha Tsui pier area again, I think we should not rule out any possibilities of, like, looking at some of these original innovative ideas or different visual plans that perhaps Paul, you have in mind from an early stage, so that we can improve this area that Ida has mentioned would be a very important area on the harbour front. So maybe I can just throw this idea as to who's going to lead in this area in redeveloping this.
Yeah, Miranda, could I supplement a little bit on your point about the objections from the district councils? Yes, because in fact, last year, the Gazette is already the third time of our Gazetto of the turnaround works. In fact, we have already made two Gazettes in 2009 and the year 2010. And we have, in the year 2009, we have received about 5,000 objections. And in the year 2010, we have received 13,000 objections from the public. And on top of that, there were also strong objections from the five district councils in Kowloon, namely Kun Tong, Kowloon City, Sham Shui Po, Wong Tai Shin, and also Yao Jin Wong. And in particular, for the district council in Yao Jin Wong, almost all the members there are strongly against the relocation of the bus routes. As a result of this, we have to reconsider our plan. That's why last year we come back here again for a revised proposal, which we hope to have a win-win situation whereby we can still develop a piazza together with a renovated star ferry pier. And it is very unfortunate that we still receive some 7,000 objections from the public, and all of the objections are almost, I think, more than 90% are urging us to conserve the area, the Tsim Sha Tsui bus terminus, and also some also put up some alternative design of the PTI. And in fact, we have already followed the due process to resolve the objections, and I think Highway Department, in collaboration with TC and also Transport Department, have already replied all the letters one by one. And for some, we even telephoned them to explain them to the situation and ask them to withdraw the objection. But almost none of them withdraw the objection. So because of this strong objections from the public and also the strong objections from the five DCs, the district councils, so we have already explored, in fact, other options to see whether we can strike the balance to find a feasible option to develop a piazza of a size with merits, and also to incorporate the views of the district council and also the public. But as set out in the paper, we are unable to find a good solution to this, and so we decide to shelve it for the moment. Thank you. Paul?
Yes. Well, there's a couple of things here that are being said by TC, and as we look forward, I think we've got to get TC to recognize it. First of all, in 2009, you've gone to this commission, and when we asked the question whether there was going to be transport implications or whether those were acceptable, you said yes. When Route 5 was rerouted and people started to experience the disconnect to the Star Ferry, people in the Kowloon started to object because they experienced it, that there was a transport problem. And so one side, so if you really feel, and Transport Department really agrees with you, that there is no transport disbenefit for moving the site to the new bus, the new PTI, and then the public experiences it, maybe is there a disconnect in terms of timing, like you know that over time people will agree with you or whatever, but anyway, you couldn't resolve it. Then you come back with a solution which is just plain, ugly, and stupid. I mean, there is nothing that can be said for this from the last proposal. That was not anything of any quality. There was a transport engineering solution to a very difficult brief, like I want to keep the bus services, but I also want to keep a piazza here, pull it together. There was no intelligent design in it. It was a technical drawing that was so ugly that everybody said that nobody could agree with that being a smart solution, so you got no support from anybody. So we haven't been to a situation of a good solution. The first one, it was based on an irresponsible brief of suggesting that transport would not, that there would not be a transport issue. people have told you that there is a transport issue. Then the second solution is a really bad solution. You have to spend no money, no effort to do a good solution, trying to come up with a proper answer to the situation. So twice we had a solution to the community, twice it was a bad plan. So now the answer is going to be, the question is to TC, will you spend money to come through, to do a process which will deliver a good plan? You cannot just say, I'm not going to do anything. So the answer we just heard is, well, you've got for the time being, we're not going to do anything. That's just an irresponsible attitude from the Tourism Commission. If you're not going to do it, then who else is going to do it? And if you're going to do it, what's the process for doing it? And Chairman, we cannot accept this. If Tourism Commission does not pick up the ball, then Harbour Unit has to go and find somebody else, Harbour Unit can find somebody else, then we have to go to the Chief Executive and say, we've got a serious problem here. This is one of our key areas on the waterfront. So okay. I should go with a stupid plan, and then the third time we say we're not going to do anything. But three times, a bad answer from the Tourism Commission.
Thank you, Paul. Now, I think it's important that we are forward-looking. And now we want to see what would be the best way to improve the area for the general public and for everyone, who's going to take the lead and to be responsible. Now, given that this is no longer a tourist project, it's no longer the piazza there because it's being shelved, and from all the responses, all the representations from the general public, it seems that bus routes cannot be realigned easily, and this public transport interchange would still have its function to be a public transport interchange with the Star Ferry as well as the bus terminus. So it seems that it's also logical that Transport Department can be coordinating this, but I think our task force can work closely together with Transport Department to see what are the plans that could be come up, and hopefully it would come back to the task force pretty soon, and incorporating some of the comments and plans that we have heard from Star Ferry previously. And I think based on that, perhaps then we could have input at an early stage and take things forward. All right, let's do it in this way, because I think that would be the thing that we have to wait and give chance for somebody to come up with an alternative, because when there's no alternative, there's nothing to be discussed.
Chairman, yeah, based on what? What's the alternative going to be based on? There's got to be a clear...
Can you use your mic, Paul?
Can we have a clear setting out of a process for determining, you know, doing the process? We know the process is, you're going to envision, set the objective, come up with design options, and then come to a solution, not just going out and talk with the bus company about some minor improvements to the kiosk. So TD needs to get help, and they have to get money. They've got to have a process. Now, TD doesn't usually do things like that, like an enhancement of an area for tourist purposes. They fix the buses. It's not their job. So Tourism Commission steps away, and we give it to Transport Department, and we agree with that? That would be bad attitude on our side.
Could I just add?
This is just, we cannot accept that this is just given to Transport
okay,
Department.
So
they don't have the capability for this.
Could I just add something to
Wait. Okay. I think Paul has made a point that we cannot accept that Transport Department to be leading in the improvement of this area, okay? And then we would get other comments. Peter.
Well, my point was that I spent most of yesterday afternoon with the various other institute representatives talking with the Financial Secretary about the policy address. And we had a lot of debate about this type of issue. That, you know, if we consider environment to be something that we want to do something about in Hong Kong, we have to prioritize and not compromise, because there's so many aspects to this. We see it everywhere. And the very fact is that another thing we were talking about was the NDAs and the NENT. Now, we all know what's happened over there over the last 6 months. There have been thousands of objections there about resumption and so on. But nobody's telling me that government aren't going to overcome that. So, you know...
What's your suggestion? For this particular,
I think we bare our teeth and we put our foot down and we say we want the plaza to go ahead. Now, if we get a negative, okay, we get a negative. But our job is to accord with our harbour planning principles. And here we had a scheme which was extremely good, accepted by many, many people, that went right through the system, and we've sort of thrown it out for, I think, very spurious reasons. I don't take these type of district board objections. you know, in the way that perhaps you do. I think there are too many vested interests. You know, we have the district boards objecting to an awful lot of things, including bus routes through urban areas and so on and so forth, which is massively constraining, you know, a proper public transport policy with regard to roads. It's polluting and so on and so forth. At some time or other, we've got to be taking a stand. It's highly likely that when Christine Lowe's environmental paper comes in, it'll have some of these things in it.
Okay.
So, you know, why should we be standing outside this
and simply shrugging our shoulders? I think you've made your point. And I think you stand firm that asking the Tourism Commission to reconsider the shelved piazza.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any other comments? Why? On the way forward, please.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Actually, I agree with other members' point that, you know, actually Transport Department is not the right department to take the lead, because you are talking about to sell a proposal. You need pretty pictures and you need a lot of lobbying, you know, like marketing, you know. So I think Tourism Commission should be the right, you know, department to take up the task.
So I think we have to have some response from the Development Bureau as to how do you see this?
Thank you, Chairman. Now, I think it's we take note, we take full note of what members have said, and personally, I think it's a pity that the plan couldn't get through. But I think we also have to be realistic that for a project like this one, I think we do need to consolidate the kind of public support in order for it to proceed and to get public acceptance. So I think we do need to accord some weight to the district council's views. And I think we also cannot lose sight of the fact of that we do meet with a lot of objections. Now, I think what we may do at this juncture is, I think first of all, the original intention of getting the piazza as both a way of enhancing the harbourfront and also improving the tourism attraction, I think those objectives are laudable, and I think should remain there. And that has been the guiding thoughts or guiding objectives of the various initiatives that we have been pursuing in the Tsim Sha Tsui area. So I think what we can do, without perhaps trying to argue too much at this juncture as to who should do what, is please maybe give us some time to walk this through within the administration. Now, I think I do note that perhaps there are some silver lining still in this, which is first, there is for better or worse, the public transport interchange will remain there for the time being anyway. The Star Ferry Pier will remain there. Both are transport facilities. And for one, I'm sure members are aware that the Star Ferry has been pretty, maybe I shouldn't use the word aggressive, but at least very proactive in terms of pursuing opportunities that can enhance both its bettering of its facilities and as well as bringing vibrancy to areas next to its pier. So they may be a party that we can also tap in terms of ideas for how we may take it on from this point. And of course, we would also talk to the Transport and Housing Bureau, which of course is the sponsoring policy bureau for the Star Ferry, to see if indeed they would support the Star Ferry in pursuing this kind of enhancement proposal. And then we can perhaps bring in the Tourism Commission as well as the Transport Department together to see how we may take this forward. But maybe members could give us some time to walk this through within the administration first. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. I think this is very good. I think, especially as we discuss about it,
all our major concerns and issues has already been raised. So I think in the next meeting, we would have a paper like on the way forward as to how we would improve the area, and from then we will be able to give further comments. Okay, thank you very much. So that finish our matters arising.